Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League. Now. Welcome. This is Triple M NRL. Right
now. Welcome. We're live at ANZ Stadium to wind up Easter weekend. What a fabulous weekend it's been. And here in Sydney, the weather has been spectacular and they've done it again. It's mid or low to mid 30s here at ANZ. We've got the Easter show just over the fence. And we're here for the Wests Tigers and the Parramatta Reels, an Easter Monday tradition. And welcome right across the Triple M NRL network, including our stations, not only on Triple M Sydney, but KOFM in Newcastle. Boy, aren't your nights giving us some entertainment. And also Orange and Port Macquarie and plenty of our Queensland networks as well through the Triple M network. We're here outside the ground for the next hour and a half thanks to the good people at Tyre Power, and they have laid on a feast here. Come along, say hello, grab a cap, and you're going to need one today if you're coming out to the game, and a free water bottle as well. So thanks to Michael and the team at Tyre Power for putting this on this afternoon. Dan Ganane, but alongside me, the two stars of the show, Mark Geyer and Jamie Soward. T-shirt, shorts and sunnies weather today. Hello to you, MG.
Well, welcome to the Golden West at its best. 34 degrees. Sun right in our eyes. What else would you rather be doing on a Monday? Not except being in the pool. This is fantastic. This is even though it's a hard game today to predict who's going to win it. The crowd's just bursting in. They're predicting 40,000 people, and hasn't it been a dramatic last 4 days of rugby league, starting last Thursday, all the way back to last Thursday? Here we are on Monday, and rugby league just never ceases to deliver drama.
And we had a cracking day yesterday, which we'll get to soon. Hello to you, Sowie.
G'day, boys. I didn't get the memo. Producer Tom told me jeans and a nice shirt, so...
Oh, he got you.
He's got me an absolute beaut. No, he's a good bloke, Tommy. But I'm looking forward to this game today. Parramatta with so much on the line. They're really playing for their season. Pretty much, 0-4 is really... Your season's pretty much done. You know, you really have to win 16 out of the next 20 games, as we're going to speak about a bit later. But the Tigers have defended, won 2 games, only scoring 3 tries. Ivan Cleary's really got everyone on the bus, so I'm looking forward to a big Easter Monday clash and looking forward to some points today between both these sides.
We've been doing this game since 2014, actually. Easter Monday. It works, doesn't it? It's the first time they played, it was a spectacular game. I think Jared Hayne had a starring role, but I think Benji may have been a star as well. No, he wasn't there at the time. I can't remember. But Luke Brooks actually had a starring game, and the Tigers won 21-18. And they tend to be close, these matches. They tend to be low scoring as well, and these are low scoring teams. But do you think the hot weather, given it is mid 30s, we might see a bit more open footy like we did yesterday?
Well, it's conducive for it, isn't it? It's not that type of knuckle down defensive type of atmosphere in this heat. Even though the Tigers this year have kicked off the season with a defensive-orientated game plan, their number one tackler, defender, is out today, which is Elijah Taylor. So we might see a little bit more ball movement from the Tigers. Hopefully we see a lot more ball movement from the Eels, because damn, they need it. I'd like to see a high-scoring game. I think the fans deserve it.
That is a great shirt, MG. That is straight from the Cosmo Kramer collection.
It's straight out of Magnum, baby.
It is. You ever grown just the Tom Selleck mustache?
I'm working on it. I work on it. I could do it.
I think you could too.
I might do it for November.
Is that the greatest mustache in the history of the world, Tom Selleck?
I've had a go at a moustache before.
Yeah, not the greatest in the history of the world.
No,
though.
It was second. It came in second.
Oh, it's one of the most famous.
How many Easter eggs have we put away?
Oh, look at me. I can't... But these pants are a bit tight today. When you've got 5 kids, you've got to fill them all up with eggs. And we do a reverse yesterday. We have dinner at breakfast and the other way around. So we all had Easter eggs for breakfast.
Hey, hang on.
Hang on, what? You got to explain this.
Yeah, well, we have
like a roast dinner at 10 a.m. or something.
Reverse day, we call it. We have eggs for breakfast. Eggs for breakfast, which is also followed by
real eggs, not Easter eggs.
Both. Both. The kids have got to wake up to some, you know, the trail, especially my 10-year-old who's still. I don't think she's listening. She still believes in the bunny rabbit.
Well, yeah. At least the bunny's real.
He is real. Right. Seen him earlier. And then we have a massive feed, and then we kind of... Yesterday we had dinner at 3 o'clock up at the Pioneer Tavern and went home, watched the footy. And the footy has just been sensational. A couple of glasses of red and... Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
And then they dip in the pool this morning and here we are.
My weekend wasn't as good as that.
No.
Bit quiet for me. No chocolate for me, Dan. I'm following your health kick.
Good boy.
Getting on the back of that. So, but you spoke about the Heat before. I think it's going to come down to the best game managers. We saw Parramatta really struggle in that game against Manly, and the experience of Cherry Evans being able to manage his side, being able to put the ball out when the team needed a rest, being able to kick long. We haven't seen that from Parramatta, and they haven't really got that person in terms of Moses or Norman. I look for one of those guys to take control of this team and the other one to play off the back of that. And it's not going to be the same person every week. It's going to be whoever's within in form. Some weeks it'll be Ben Hornby for me. He just really controlled the team, and I just pop up in and around on the footy. Other weeks, you know, Benny Hornby might be just popping in and around and coming to the other side of the field. But it's something that Parramatta need to work out, because the West Tigers, they'll just keep going and going. They're really an 80-minute team at the moment.
All right. We are here outside until about 3:30. The game starts now. We're told bang on 4. This is not the normal sort of 4 o'clock or, you know, 4:10, 4:12. We're told it's going to start at exactly 4 o'clock, so take note. And come on, if you're coming along here, make sure you say hello before you pop into the stadium. We are outside thanks to Tyre Power, and we've got a lot to get through, so let's get on with it. This is Triple M rocking the footy live from ANZ. Welcome back. Triple M and stations up and down the East Coast. We bring you Easter Monday football between the West Tigers and the Parramatta Reels. We're live at ANZ. We're outside ANZ thanks to the good people at Tyre Power. And come along, make sure you say hello, pick up a cap, pick up a water. But the water bottles are going like hotcakes at the moment, but there's still some here, so make sure you stop by and say hello. There's Pass the Ball, and you can get your photo taken with these two, MG and Sowie.
Is the boss from Tyre Power coming today, Dan?
I think Hank is here.
Hank. Big Hank from Tyre Power.
Hang around, Hank, and then might need to have a conversation.
Go for a drive.
Oh, you need some time.
Oh, yeah. Just like getting business cards, Dan. You know, it's all about networking.
He's a networker. He is.
I learn from the best. I'm still young in the game,
That's
you know.
Right.
I'm just learning off you blokes.
Nothing wrong with doing that and testing out the sponsor's product.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'd love to test out some new tyres from Tyre Power.
How good was yesterday's game?
They're outstanding.
Fantastic.
The Dragons. They're outstanding. They're playing a brand of football, MG, Dan, that really excites not only Dragons fans, but just purists of the game. They're going out there playing the combination of Hunt and Widdop going from side to side. The couple of plays yesterday where they actually had Hunt, Widdop and Dufty all from 50, and I'll talk about middle of the field, where they actually swept there and then Hunt double pumped and Widdop chimed in. It's just really exciting football. I love what Paul McGregor's done with his side after reinventing him, after last year not having a halfback and bringing in and spending so much money on Hunt.
I can't find a weakness in their side at the moment. Honestly, it's from 1 to 17 is just rampant. It's Dufty at the fullback. He's come along. Their spine is probably the best in the competition at the moment. But the big boppers, when a player comes to your club like James Graham, there was reports earlier in the year that the first training session they did was a beep test, and he just come back from the World Cup, probably 5 or 6 kilos overweight. And as they were doing the beep test, he just kept going and going. And blokes like Lisa Naumau and Tarek Sims were watching this, and then they said, well, we can't let this bloke beat us.
Yeah.
Push them to do their personal best. Just in one training session there, he's proven his worth to this season, for this club, for this season. It's kind of like, do as I say and as I do. Is this the natural leader? And I think what's happened, Tyson Frizzell has woken from his slumber. He's back to his origin form. Jack DeBellin is tackling like I've never seen anyone in the competition tackle before.
Don't they hit hard?
Paul Vaughan is definitely origin material. Cameron McGuinness has got to be in the equation, in the conversation at least, for origin as well, when we don't know. And then Nathan Pease comes back last night and has a bottler. So, you know what, Dan and Sowie, this team at the moment, Nene McDonald on the wing. Don't forget, they played without Ewan Aiken last year for most of the year. and he's added some starch. And Tim Lafay, he's being more precise with that left hand than passing it when he has to. Last year it was kind of a, it was more of a hindrance to the team than it was a help, because he'd pass it every time he got the ball and he wasn't in a good position to do so. But you add two players like Ben Hunt and James Graham to an already pretty formidable outfield who just missed out in the eight, you've definitely got a top four team there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the difference from them last year, Tim Lafay was actually just running that flick pass for the sake of it. Now he's actually earning it. He's having some tough carries out of the back. His offloads are actually chosen at the right time. The Dragons, the only thing that worries me is they've started last three or four seasons like this. They've gone out, shot out of the gates, fatigue sets in. Whether that happens this year or not, we'll have to wait and see. They usually hit the breaks around that sort of Anzac Day clash. It takes a little bit out of you. It's a different time of the week. And the Roosters are struggling at the moment, but the Dragons are playing whoever they can in front of them. Big crowd yesterday. All the Dragons fans have jumped on board, so you'd have to be very happy being a Dragons fan.
They've got a big month ahead because they've got South next week, but then I think they've got the Sharks again. Then they've got the Warriors, which is all of a sudden a blockbuster, and then Anzac Day after that. So they're going to be tested. I think we're going to find out if they're for real over the next few weeks.
And their depth will be tested too around Origin, because Ben Hunt, in the form that he's in, will be the Queensland halfback going forward, I think. And then if some of those forwards that MG mentioned, the guy for me is Paul Vaughan. He's really gone next to James Graham, and James Graham's pushing him each week and week. He's playing bigger minutes. He's playing more consistent minutes. He's not just coming on having his three or four big carries and then just plotting around. He's actually damaging for the whole time he's out there. So I think that James Graham's been arguably one of the buys of the year, but not past Blake Green.
But what isn't the brand of footy refreshing? Oh. I mean, you watch those old games on Fox, the early 90s games, and there's, you know, Langer and Walters. I'm not comparing these Dragons to Langer and Walters or the Johns brothers, but they're spreading it. They just see what's in front of them, and they spread it, and they get expansive, and it's a wonderful brand to watch.
It's an unstructured structure. And I talk about that they know the plays they want to do, but they don't have to get to certain points on the field to be able to do it. We see teams last year, the Bulldogs were a perfect example, where they'd have to get to a certain point on the field to be able to run a play. The Dragons go, we want to do this play. We can do it from 20 metres. We can do it from the sideline. We can do it at the post. And that's the play I talked about yesterday. You had 7, 6 and 1 all from 50 to the sideline, and Newcastle just didn't number up. They know how to identify chinks in the line. They went at Jamie Bure. They really targeted him. Nene McDonald, absolutely outstanding finishing on the wing. It's an unstructured structure the Dragons are playing with.
What about the Knights? Because they've now, that's their second handy defeat. But they weren't that bad, were they?
No, they were. They're up against a really good team. I think what you're going to see with the Knights this year, they're going to be a lot more improved, obviously, than last year. But I think you're going to see them have a really good win. Then maybe two losses, and then maybe another win or two, then maybe two or three losses. I don't think the consistency this year is going to take a lot to get used to from their point of view, because that's a whole new different team. You look at it on paper, there's nine different blokes in the side that weren't there last year, and they're going to take a while to get to gel with each other. But I love their style of play as well, Dan and Sowie. I love the way that they're playing rugby league. Not just, you know, this second man block play that goes left or right, and it's so easy to, like the Dogs were doing the other night, and when we commentated last Friday. Souths are doing it. The Dogs did it. They look like a mirror image of each other. They just swapped jerseys into the same team. But the teams are sticking out, like the Warriors and like the Knights and like the Dragons. They're playing a type of rugby league that they're not scared to express themselves. And I think that comes down from the coach.
I saw a worrying thing yesterday for Newcastle fans, that the nine guys or the more experienced guys actually knew how to play in those tight moments, and they've known for the opening month of football, whereas the guys that were already there and haven't come to the club are still adjusting how to play up tempo and how to play in those tight moments. Mitchell Pearce, outstanding yesterday in a beaten side. But you look at Brock Lamb, who's been coming off the bench, came in and probably not his best game. So those guys, and MG's right, they are going to have moments where they get off the back of what Pearce and Ponga, all these guys who have come from teams that made the four last year or made the eight, that's real experience. And then those guys that are just still learning the game, yeah, Nathan Ross had a shocker yesterday, but he's been outstanding for the previous couple of weeks. So you're going to have those ups and downs, but if they can close that gap between their most experienced and the guys that are still learning how to win week in, week out, then they're going to get better performances.
What about Ponga, isn't it? Every week... His stocks go up.
He'd be my 14 if I was like Queenslander. I'd be having him on the bench. He'd be the bloke to come on and scare the crap out of any team he plays against, let alone New South Wales. But I don't want to tell Queensland how to suck eggs, because they've won so many series in a row. But He looks like he's been playing first grade for 10 years. And he just looks the player. He knows the lines to run. He's defensively, he's tough. He puts his head where a lot of rookies don't put their heads. Yep, good luck today, boys. and he's just, you know, Sarri, sometimes rugby league players come into our game, and I mentioned blokes like Fittler when he first came in at 17, and now I'm seeing this bloke called Pong come in. I watched him in the game last year when he's playing for the Cowboys 20s. He scored 4 tries. Each of them was from getting a kick from his own in-goal. He ran 110 metres to score 4 tries. Yeah, he's a freak of nature, and I just can't wait for the next 10 years to watch him play footy.
Yeah, well, it was good stuff yesterday, and let's hope we see more of it. Triple M rocking Easter Monday footy live from ANZ Stadium. We're out the front here thanks to Tyre Power in between Gates E and we're just outside Gate E. It's our usual spot right next to the Easter show, so make sure you come along and say hello. More after this. Triple M rocking Easter Monday footy here live from ANZ Stadium. We do it for Tyre Power, Jamie Soward, Mark Guy, Dan Ganane. Emma Lawrence will join us shortly. She'll have the interviews with the coaches, Ivan Cleary and Brad Arthur. The team changes as well. Now, of course, Triple M first for footy on the weekend, midday Saturday, midday Sunday. And yesterday, the boys, Kenty and Maroon and Gordy and James Hooper, did a fabulous interview with Mark Carroll, who didn't leave anyone wondering his opinions on certain issues. They started, I think they were talking about Manly's salary cap, but they cover a whole range of issues. Let's have a listen to some of that.
Now, just before we go to Spud Carroll, I want to play you some Daly Cherry Evans audio from the Sheds after the win last night. The boys and how they are affected by this salary cap drama.
I can't remember something as big as this ever hitting the club, so, you know, it's just one of those situations where your only right of play is to try and win a football game, so it's hard not to think about those things because it's a place that we all care about, from Trent all the way through to the playing group. So we take a lot of pride in our performance and the club that we play for, so I thought that was a good reflection tonight of how we feel about this place. And off the back of that, as a player, I can't thank our coach enough, the way he sheltered it from us as much as he possibly could, and took the hit in front of the media, faced them, answered all their questions, and certainly from a player that's under him, it certainly gives us a lot less on our plate to worry about and a sign of confidence that he's got our back. You know, I've pleaded my innocence through it all and spoken as much as I possibly needed to hopefully clear the air about where I stand on it all, but yeah, it's certainly not nice when your name's attached to something like that, and I certainly wasn't surprised that they somehow found a way to put my name in front of it. I'd like to think I'm pretty good at just when it's time to train, I'm focused in on what we have to do and try not to take my work home with me as well. So, look, when you're sitting in the car, you know, in the way to train and stuff like that, you certainly let your mind wander and those things pop up quite quickly. But again, when I'm around the boys and out on the field training or playing, it's easy to forget. There's too much to concentrate on.
Well, there it is, courtesy of Fox League. That Fox League, at least. That's Daly Cherry Evans, Triple M NRL. We welcome in our next guest, 202 first grade games, an Origin legend, a dozen games for his country, and the proprietor of Spud's Gym, our old mate Mark Spud Carroll. Hello, Spud.
Good afternoon, Maroon. Mike. I don't know, as the next player, how the manager's got away with this. They've been spending their commission off the player, and nothing's been brought up about it. But let's talk about rugby league. Let's get off this thing.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it, Spud, how much money that the managers take out of the game, yet there never seems to be any accountability towards them.
No, not at all. Not one bit. No, they like to take their percentage out. And he can certainly talk to Cherry. He's in the centre of it, and I'm pretty sure he knows what's going on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
The way he talks, mate, he confuses me.
Yeah, well, some of those things that he said, I don't think we're ever going to agree on, to be honest, but... What's it say about Manly, something like this happening? Like, because Manly are the club, and you probably played that great era where they were the club that everyone loved to hate. Is it just going to be added to the file on that?
Yeah, I suppose it is, Kenny. I went from Penrith to South, and then I had the chance to play for Manly. It was an opportunity, which I loved, actually. I loved all the negative you get from playing at Manly. There was, you know, I thought you were the lucky person being there and everything like that, but... It just makes you more steel. It makes you harder in the middle. Back then, I had 4 great years as coached by Bozo, and he was a hard man. And I know he's been brought into the into this dispute about all this sort of stuff. But, mate, I'm, like I said, I'm just a basic old front row, mate. I don't understand all the figures, so I just did my job. And I had a manager to do my job, and he got his percentage. But like, as you keep bringing up, mate, nothing's been said about these managers, and I think they should.
Yeah. Hey, Spud, as you alluded to earlier, let's talk a little bit about the footy. We saw the vision of you in the sheds there last night talking to Trent Barrett after that great win. What did you make of the response from the Seagulls playing group against the Raiders last night?
Yeah, Hoops, I think the week before I was out of that game as well, mate, they had a heat stroke. They weren't in the game after playing Parramatta when they flogged Parramatta. 40-degree heat, mate, they just weren't there. And just talking to Baz, he reckons, mate, all their indicators, GPS, they wear these things on their back, GPS now. You believe they gaudy things on the back to tell you how to do a hit-up and how many tackles and how many metres you ran? Seriously, get the pen and paper and write it down. But at the end of the day, they reckon all their figures were down, and you could tell by the first half, man, it was switched on. To see the Trbojevic brothers, mate, that all that sort of inside ball stuff, mate, they do that in the backyard footy. That's easy for them. Yeah. But for me to see, I put a side together at my gym this week, my State of Origin side, and I had McGuinness in from St George's, my hooker. I've now got Coruscant. Mate, what he showed me last night, his effort from dummy half, his ball play, tough in defence, and I thought it was a great win by Manly. I think the Raiders, if you've seen the Fox Sports interview with the so-called coach, you know, giving it to his players, mate, call them soft, mate, seriously. Their builds are unbelievable. They look like Tarzan. They play like Jane. They are soft through the middle. I've never seen a bloke so big. Paulu, mate, he's got an ass like Serena Williams. Seriously, thank God she's a bit prettier than him. But, mate, he is a massive human. They're saying he's lost weight with finger.
But talking about big guys, you went up to Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. That was the first time you've been back since that collision, was it?
Yeah,
with the Chiefs.
It was incredible, Jordan. No, mate, Gordy, it was the thing with Matty Johns and Fletcher in the car doing this thing in the car. It was pretty cool. You know, I was a little bit nervous going up there, thinking I'd get booed and carried on in the crowd, but I actually got cheered, which is quite incredible. Remembering that game '95. The crazy thing about that game, I remember walking out of the sheds and seeing Mum and Dad, a young bloke turned over and turned his back on me, and he had Chief's number. He goes, "Can you please sign my jersey?" And went, "Bloody hell, you want me to sign his jersey?" And it was like a bit of a turning point. I don't know what happened, but I'm happy to say, mate, I'm still good mates with the Chief. We got paid to do our job back then. You'll never see a collision like that again. Like, I'm probably going to shoot 8 weeks for that, the way I pulled that into my shoulder. It wasn't an elbow, it was on the point of my shoulder. But back then, mate, we left it on the field, we didn't carry on. And to this day, mate, he's a good mate of mine.
Hey, Spud, can you believe, talking about a game from earlier in this round, Good Friday game, the Bunnies. It was a real arm wrestle against the Dogs. What did you make of Sammy Burgess getting charged? He's facing a week for dangerous contact for that hit that he made with Josh Morris.
Yeah, well, firstly, Sam Burgess, mate, he is incredible for South Sydney. I wish there was another couple of players like him in the side, they'd be unbeatable. What he does, mate, he hurts in defence, he hurts in attack. He just loves dominating the opposition. He'll take a whole forward pack on. He did that against Manly. He tried to do that against the Bulldogs. But, mate, coming off the line like that, turns in there from the blind side. I thought it was a pretty good hit. It looks probably a lot worse than what it was. Unfortunately, there was a winger or a centre coming in and they can't tackle.
What did you think, Gordon? Did you think?
I know, man. I thought it was fair. Like, obviously, when you're taking a hit up, right, you don't see faces, believe it or not. Like, you just see sort of colour juice. So then he's going, and just at the corner of his eye, there's a flash coming into him. And I don't think that his elbow goes higher than his hand. So like, he hits him and hits him right up the top here of the collarbone.
Exactly. It wasn't Les Boyd like pointing 90 degrees, mate. It was just like, you're a right hand carrier team. I was a right arm carrier.
And get the bumper bars up to protect your head. So that's all he's doing is protecting. As a defender, you've got every opportunity to tackle Sam Burgess or tackle him in any six foot.
The onus is on the defender.
Mate, you can bend your back, tackle him around the legs, around the waist, in the belly, on the shoulder. You can tackle him anywhere. As a ball runner, you can only run straight and step. Mm. So you got no choice. And I thought it was pretty fair. And I don't think Sam would have a case to answer.
So Spud, speaking of, enforcers and what you've seen over the weekend, there's been a lot of negative aspects raised in rugby league over the past 3 or 4 days. But what about that a Thursday night game, I called it, and that Penrith player, Fisher Harris. Now, mate, what about him? Now, he just never stops.
He's a workaholic. He's like putting energy batteries in him. He just goes all game, doesn't he? Mate, that was incredible performance. And he hits so hard. My God, he just doesn't. He puts his body on the line, and they're legit tackles. He actually makes them rattle, mate. I guarantee if you're at the game level, there'd be, your whole body would be shaken with his impact.
Two things, Spud. I want to, on the back of that, I want to ask you who you think the New South Wales prop should be. And second to that, your opinion on Andrew Fifita ruling him out of Origin contention.
Mate, where do I start with Fifita? My God. I'll firstly start with my two front rowers. I think Bourne deserves a chance. And I think Clemmer, I like Clemmer in the side. I want him off the bench. I think his impact's incredible. And I'd probably put in, who have I said? I've said in my pack. I should know off the top of my head.
Campbell Gillard.
Yeah, Campbell Gillard. Like, seriously, he just rolls his sleeves up. Boys get on my back, and he just goes for it. I need someone who can just punch lines into his eyes. Goes for Fifita, mate. When he come out, I chuckled when I said he put some on the podcast saying he's going to let everyone know what he was going to do. Dead set. There's no respect for the jersey. He showed that last year when they asked for him, mate, can you please start off the bench? Let's start Clemmer last game. He decided, no, I want to start the game. He played like a pussy. And seriously, mate, no one deserves to play for New South Wales with that sort of sort of attitude. Mate, he wouldn't be in the top six anyway now, can he?
Yeah,
there's no way in the world he's in the top six. So, Fifita, mate, you said you want to play for Tonga, which is your duty and your beliefs. He got given the opportunity to play for Australia, which is the greatest honour of all time, and he knocked that back in the World Cup, so he's played his cards.
All right, well, I tell you what, Spud, no doubt we'll do a couple of corporates together over the Origin period, which I very much look forward to. And I just wanted to thank you on a personal note. For those who don't know, only Hoops and I know that I sent Hoops down here about 6 weeks ago for you to do some work on his triceps, and they are looking any better than ever.
I tell you what you should do, Maroon. You've got a big mouth now. I love you. How about you come in on a Tuesday morning, put the gloves on like the big boys do, and we'll just punch the crap out of each other. Bring a mouth guard.
Yeah,
he's just faded.
I'll get to that. Don't worry about that. I'll ring you up and book that in.
Why's the colour going out of your face?
No, thanks. Hey, Spud, love you, mate. Always good to catch up with you.
Enjoy the call, boys.
There he is.
How good was that?
I just love Spud to have an opinion on something. Like, come on, Spud, get off the fence, brother. No, you know, it's hard to argue with everything he said. I've known Spud since we were 10.
You'd come up through Penrith together, wouldn't you?
He was 5'8 for St Patrick's. I was 5'8 for North Mount Druitt. And we were the two tallest blokes in the competition. And we beat him one day, 2-1. I kicked two field goals, he kicked one. and we went to grade together. And then Spud went. We went on a kangaroo tour together. Then Spud went to the Rabbitohs, and the rest is history. But no, look.
And hang on, you two are hotheads. Did you have not a gentleman's agreement, but did you respect each other too much to belt the crap out of each other?
I think there was three of us who, along them lines. Tony Butterfield as well. We grew up in the same era, and I think once we played with each other for so much in the juniors at Penrith that once Spud was at South or Manly and Butts was at Newcastle, every time I'd play against them, it was kind of a gentleman's agreement that, you know, let's play hard and tough, but don't bash me, bash Cardi. And I'd be the same with him and Spud. But it's, I love Spud a lot, and what he says there makes a lot of sense.
I had one of those gentleman's agreements with GI, but he never had head. Drove for Olympic Park about six times, but anyway.
Triple M, this is Monday afternoon footy, Easter Monday, a special here at ANZ Stadium. We're out here thanks to Tyre Power. Nice crowd trickling in. We'll have more after this.
Rugby league. It's in our blood.
It's all or nothing. The goal is to start well and put ourselves in a good position.
Now, Triple M NRL.
Yes, indeed, live Easter Monday footy, ANZ Stadium. Mark Guy, Jamie Sauer, Dan Ganane. We're out here thanks to Tyre Power. You know what passed? And we sort of forgot. April Fools.
Well, oh, yeah.
I saw the best one. Do you know much about the NBA, MG?
Yes, love the NBA, you know, my Spurs.
The brow?
Yes.
Okay, he went on Instagram.
Anthony Davis
went on Instagram.
He's a monobrow.
He's a mono. So his nickname's The Brow, and he went on and he shaved it. And everyone thought, oh, he shaved it, because he talked up about a change. He put it to a poll on Twitter, and they all said shave it. And it was an April Fool's. It got everyone.
Wow. Yeah, I know. It used to be rampant, didn't it? Like, it used to be everything, every second
The mono brow or the April Fool's?
The April Fool's.
Hey, I think you're right. The monobrow is not as present as it used to be.
No. You get trim these days. You get a little shave.
Manscaping.
Yeah.
I'm not sure monobrow is manscaping.
We're still talking about monobrows?
No, we're talking about April Fool's.
I read yesterday one of the greatest April Fool's gag. This took so much planning. I can't remember what country this was in, but some bloke he hired a plane. He flew over a dormant volcano, this is about 40 years ago, dropped in hundreds of tyres, set them on fire, so everyone in the town thought that the volcano had woken up. So everyone evacuated. I mean, it's a cruel April Fool's joke.
Well, I mean, Hank from Tyre Power. Drop the tyres in. All the discards.
But that's a bit of effort's gone into that.
Yeah. I actually even forgot about it. And actually, you find with social media these days, for instance, there's a fight on UFC next week that was, you know, a big one. Tony Ferguson and Khabib.
The chemist?
No, it's, I know. Predator's ex-sponsor. But anyway, he injured himself yesterday just getting an interview. He jumped off he walked down the step. Looked the other way and done his MCL on his knee. So everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke. Yeah, he said, like, you know, and there's been a couple of breakups of late. The young girl from the Veronicas and Ruby Rose, they broke up. She said, it's not an April Fool's joke. We actually are breaking up.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a bad day to do it.
No, I know.
Imagine if the cricketers did the April Fool's statement.
What?
Like one of the cricketers just come out April Fool's. We didn't cheat. It was just a bit of cloth.
April Fool's.
April Fool's statement.
Jared Daffy from You Bet. Afternoon to you.
Hello, Dan.
You Bet, your home of NRL betting or for NRL betting in 2018. Their website, youbet.com, or just download the You Bet app today, but please gamble responsibly. Now, Daff, you have cleaned us all up on Parramatta week after week after week. We keep flooding in with the cash. Is that the case again this week?
Well, a few have butted up, and I mean, all credit to them for even having the tenacity to do that. They were 210 this morning, and they're into 205, but the Tigers go in as favourites, Dan, and they've been favourites for the major portion of the weekend, $1.80, 205 Parramatta. So not much in the prices, but the late money is with the Eels.
With the Tigers in particular, Daff, they are finding it hard to get out of the line. I'd be interested to see what the game total is for this.
Yeah, it's a good point, MG, and the total by NRL standards is fairly low, 36.5 points. And ooh. I guess you have a look at them and Parramatta just having trouble scoring as well. Punters have launched into the under 36.5. It was $1.90 an hour or so ago. It's into $1.80 now. So looks like most expect their points to be at a premium today again.
Daff, I've got plenty of Parramatta fans outside ANZ Stadium asking me about their chances and price to win the premiership, but I'm not going to ask you that. What about their price to win the wooden spoon?
Oh, you bastard.
I'm just reading off the script, boys.
No, there was an enjoyment to the way you asked that question.
You added that.
This week, Parramatta, they were 21, they're out to 23 now. They were a shorter price to run last, $17, than what they were to win it, which is quite strange given where things were before the season started. But I thought you'd be asking about the Dragons. They're breathing down the necks of the favourites now. They're $7, equal third picks. Roosters, $6. Melbourne Storm, $6.50.
What were Dragons at the start of the year, Daff?
No, they're only 17, MG.
Oh, still
so
$10.
That was sort of in contention. But yeah. I guess out of that, the Warriors is the big shock because every year people back the Warriors. This is going to be the year. They back them to do everything. This year, one of the best back sides to run last. Here they are sitting 4-0, $13.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, how could you bet on rugby league in this manner? It just does my arse.
They've got a great game coming up. There's a doublehead, another one of these doubleheaders. It's at Mount Smart. And they're playing the Cowboys. And, Daff, we better let you go, by the way. You Bet, your home of the NRL 2018. Download the app today. Thank you, mate.
Great champion.
See you, guys.
So next, and this is important for Tigers fans because it's a Tigers home game, but they've taken it over there. Mm. They're playing Melbourne Storm. And that's the first game. We'll be calling that game. That's a 3 o'clock game our time. And then after that, it's Warriors Cowboys at Mount Smart.
Is it confusing to anyone else why the Tigers and Storm have played each other twice inside the opening five rounds?
This is happening a lot,
yeah,
Sarah.
Why?
Parramatta Penrith we're doing next week.
Yeah,
that's their
that.
Second meeting.
But is it just the old put it in the computer and whatever it spits out, that's when you play them? Is it just confusing?
I think they like to get the NRL made a decision. I'm just guessing. like, let's get some of the key matches up early. So Parramatta Penrith, next week's a big game. Even if Parramatta lose today and they're 0-4, they're still in it.
Derby.
So it's still a big derby. But yeah, Tigers Melbourne doesn't make any sense why you'd play that.
But
twice.
Even Parramatta Penrith, why would they play each other in twice inside the open?
Well, because
five
they're
rounds.
Both going to be draw cards while they're still alive. I think that might be their attitude. But you're probably right.
But it's a derby. They'd be a big crowd whether it was round 26 or round...
Yeah, but if it's round 20 and, you know, Parramatta's on 8 points.
Yeah. That just seems a little bit weird to me.
The draw.
Mate, you work at the NRL now. Go and do something about it.
I work at NRL.com, mate.
You're in the building.
You've got access to these people now.
I work across a couple of platforms.
You can go and tap your boss on the shoulder and go, listen, brother, what's going on, Toddy?
Michael Chammas.
Is it Chammas your boss?
Oh, he thinks he is.
Oh, Chammas.
He thinks he is.
Just knock on Todd's door. Todd, yeah. Got a couple of ideas.
Yeah.
Triple M rocking Easter Monday football. Easter Monday football. Yeah, it's been a big weekend.
Oh,
We'll have more after this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, put your Tony Transistor radios away. Sit up straight in your Jason recliner. You've never heard the footy like this. I'm saved. Hallelujah. This is Triple M NRL.
I think we're going to have a big crowd, everybody, because they're now queuing up. Mm. And I was just over at the pub.
Mate.
Well, I just had to go to the Tort.
Invite.
And
settle, MG.
You should see the queues there for people that are trying to get a beer. So they're all going to come across here, you'd imagine. So it's going to be a great atmosphere this afternoon.
My daughter's working there today.
Is that right?
Yeah, Kennedy. She's working there at the brewery.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, just perhaps she's not too busy.
She likes it there?
Oh, loves it, yeah. Good for an 18-year-old to see the world.
That's all. But hang on, is she living still at home?
Yeah.
Rent? That's a big commute. Does she pay rent?
No, she doesn't pay rent. Not yet.
It's a big commute.
She only started work a month ago.
Don't you take the rent off and then give it back to them when they leave home?
Yeah, just quietly. That's in the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have I wrecked it? Sorry.
For those that heard Jeff's sports update there, what about the stall gift? That's just like April Fool's. It's just sort of... Remember that used to be a big deal?
I didn't even know it was still going.
It used to be a big deal.
Anyway, and also he mentioned Sam Burgess will fight that charge.
Yeah, rightly so.
You think he'll beat that?
I think he will. Yeah, he's 6'5". I mean, he's... I don't think there's any menace in it. And I think even it was Josh or Brett Morris.
Josh.
I think even he'd go and say the same thing, though, on the calibre of bloke he is.
You've got to protect yourself as well. I mean, Sam Burgess is protecting himself. He carries the ball like that. It was just a loose elbow. I was happy with it. I would have been happy to play on. I thought the penalty was over.
I wonder if the NRL will issue him with some sort of warning for posting a picture of Jason Taumalolo doing a very similar thing and not being charged, the thing that knocked Isaiah Yeo out. In fact, Taumalolo's elbow looked even higher.
I saw that photo, Dan, down the bottom. He had hashtag April Fool's, so he'll be actually all right. Sam Burgess.
Well, he's risking it. He'll want to win because if he loses, it's two weeks.
Yeah.
Not one, so... It's not one of those cases where it's one either way, so it's only demerit points.
No, well, that happened earlier. I think round one or two, he got one and he pleaded guilty. So this is his second offence in 4 weeks.
Yeah, and they need him, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Geez, didn't Ricky lose it over the weekend? Let's just play what he had to say after the Raiders went down heavily to Manly.
Soft football, soft pieces of play, soft choices, and I've probably protected them for too long and... Over the last 3 weeks, I've thought their effort was there. There was no effort in that first half. That wasn't us, and it was soft. And personally, I'm disappointed in myself because I should have reacted the same way after our first loss against the Gold Coast because of our soft play in the last 10 minutes of that game and our soft play in the last 10 minutes of our second game and our third game that's cost us 3 wins through soft passages of play, which just started in another part of the game tonight. And got them off to a start that was a very, very tough to pull back. Why should I make changes when they deliver that crap? They should be all owning up to themselves and say, I want to play to try and get myself out of it. Because what they dished up tonight, they should be embarrassed to put a Raiders jumper on.
Yeah.
Counted seven softs.
Softs, yeah. Mm. Some marshmallows in that sentence.
Okay, here's what question I want to ask you, fellas. Do players pay attention to what a coach says in a press conference? And is there a chance that he could lose them as a result of what he said there?
Oh, I think he'd be... I think as a coach, MJ will probably know a little bit more. But as a coach, you've probably got two or three of those sprays inside the dressing room a year that you can do. And then you've probably got one public one where you can call everyone out and make everyone sort of tighten their belts and get their stuff back together. The thing with the Raiders, it's a problem that I identified in the preseason, and I said to MG off air, is they don't have a half. They've got three good serviceable halves, but they don't have a half or a half back that can just can take control of a team. They've had Aiden Caesar playing hooker. They bring Hingano from the Warriors. He's a halfback, played hooker. So instead, they got Craig Garvey sitting in reserve grade, waiting to play 80 minutes, waiting for his opportunity. Then you got Sam Williams on his third trip back to the Raiders. They just haven't got it right with their halves. And to make it worse, they've let a kid like Lachlan Croker go, who's now playing 5-8 for the Manly Seagulls and playing quite well, mind you. They just haven't got it right, the Canberra Raiders. Haven't been able to build off their success and how close they were 2 years ago. They nearly made a grand final.
Yeah, it all starts with their big men again. You know, Soliola and Boyd up front and Josh Papali and even Elliot Whitehead, who's been a revelation since coming here. He's had a quiet start to the season. And I can't start blaming any backs until the forwards have a dig.
No, I disagree on these terms. The big men have done enough in those opening two rounds to be able to get them across the line. It's been their game management, important situations. How do you concede 60 points? How do you score 56 but concede 60 in the opening two rounds and lose?
It's all about defence. That's what starts and wins games. That's what the Tigers are where they are. They're not doing anything flash with the ball. But when you've got a game plan built and basically living on defence, you can't lose. Raiders' defence at the moment is... It's not scaring anyone. It's not scaring any bloke to run at them. Like, Manly had their way with them last night or the night before, and they didn't even look like bruising a grape, let alone hurting the Manly forward. Jake Trbojevic is playing like a halfback.
Yeah.
Like, if that's not an insult to the Canberra Raiders forwards, I don't know what is.
Tommy Trbojevic, unbelievable. Oh. Sets up four, scores the other. Freddie, yesterday, I think, on the footy show, basically guaranteed he's going to be, as long as he's fit.
He's got to be fullback.
He'll be in the 17 for New South Wales, or in the 13. It's either going to be wing or fullback.
Oh, yeah.
But, now, the fact that Tedesco hasn't exactly set the world on fire, but has been excellent for the Blues at fullback, where do you think Freddie's head might be at right now?
Fullback.
Tommy?
I think Tommy fullback at the minute. I think you've got to have him involved in the game like he was yesterday. And I don't think the winger he'd get that involvement. You know, you're probably going to have a look at someone like Josh Mansour and maybe Blake Ferguson on the wings.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to play in the centres. If
we can't. Dugan will be there.
Dugan will be one, yeah, big body. What about, is Nana McDonald a New South Welshman?
PNG.
What about Tim Laffey? What's he?
Yeah, I'd like to see more from a couple of those guys. I think some things have stood out from the opening month of the football is the guys that are the creme de la creme and going to put their hand up for State of Origin are doing it consistently week after week.
Yeah.
A guy that's been talked about over the weekend, Blake Green, puts himself into calculations. Now, if you had James Maloney and Blake Green in the halves for New South Wales with Tom Trbojevic and Apisai Korosau from Manly, the hooker, that to me is a winning spine that can go forward for New South Wales with Tommy at fullback and Jake slotting in. I love the way that Appy plays his footy.
Mm.
I think that Walls probably last year had his chance to come back into the frame, and if he had have played last year, I reckon he would have been there this year. But Appy's got a real combination with Jake and Tom, and I think with Blake Green's game management and James Maloney steadying the ship, you've got to have a goal kicker in there. I think they'd be a perfect match.
Now, if you listen to us from the start here at 2 o'clock, we've been out here for Tyre Power outside ANZ, you might have noticed there's one topic we haven't touched. That's the penalty-a-thon that we've had. We've deliberately ignored it. We're going to deal with it next for 5 minutes, and that's it.
Yep, thank you.
It's after this song. We'll hear what Billy Harrigan had to say, because he was quite strident with his opinion. It is Triple M rocking Easter Monday football as the queues form up here. Big crowd coming at ANZ Stadium. Easter Monday football, a spectacular day here. Although it's clouding over, which is beautiful. It's just cooled things down a touch. There's a bit of a breeze as well. And I'm just looking at a radar here. Now, we're not in danger, I don't think, but there is some cloud the south of Sydney, sort of coming across Campbelltown and Waterfall, and I think we're going to be okay, but I tell you what, we appreciate the...
Thanks for that, Alan Wilkie.
That's a bad buzz.
By the way, before we go any further, we've had a gentleman listening to us from the Pilbara.
What?
All the way up in North WA, Brucey Turner. His family are here. This told me that Bruce told him to come over and say g'day while we're here. So, Brucey, hope you're having fun up there, mate, and make sure you keep tuning into the M's.
Hang on, so Bruce is up there, the family's down here.
And Bruce told the family that we're here, so come and say g'day.
Brilliant. What a small world.
I know.
So from the instruction from the Pilbara to the family in Sydney, and now we're saying hello to Bruce in the Pilbara. Well, did you see much of... Geez, it's really getting windy now. Did you see much of WA?
I went up to, Perth, Broome. Went all the way up to Broome, and the beaches up there are fantastic. Went to Kalgoorlie a few times to do a few speaking gigs. Invoice, of course.
don't worry, it's past the seven-year statute. Okay. You're okay.
And, what a sport. Look, if it was closer to... I had two of my... I had... one of my daughters was born there, and I had three great years in Perth, and just a long five and a half hour flight that way, and then 3.5 hours back. It's just a little bit too long.
I think, a new expansion club needs an ambassador.
I'd be that.
Ambassador. Were you the first captain?
Brad McKay.
But you were captain?
Yeah, captain. I captain.
Nice. Captain of the Western Reds. There we go. Now, Jamie Soward and Mark Guy, the sort of peak of the refereeing situation was Friday. Our game had 24 penalties and then 33 for the Sharks Melbourne game. Not so bad on Saturday and Sunday. Yesterday was spectacular, the game we called, and not so many penalties Brisbane Gold Coast.
Do you think it's a matter of short-term pain for a long-term gain that they're trying to achieve, those powers that be? And if that's the case, I'm happy with that. But listen, I'm glad we're not talking about it today, because the referees and the officials, I know we're about to play Billy Harrigan from yesterday, but I think it, as coaches having one or two blow-ups a year about their players, that's exactly what I think us commentators have got in our pocket for about referees. Once or twice a year we can let them know how we feel, but then let's just get on with the game.
Yeah, you're exactly right, MG. That's why we've all got Twitter and social media. I've been pretty vocal over the weekend. The thing for me that was inconsistent, that the last two premiers combined for 33 penalties, and last night Brisbane conceded four penalties. It's just so inconsistent. It's ruining our game. I agree that, yes, you want to stamp it out, and you do want to have a stance taken by that, but at what point in the competition or last year's competition did we all sit down and realise that offside is such an issue in our game? It's not. You've got to have an empathy for the game and an understanding that, and I listened to Ryan Girdler on Friday night, sometimes you earn the right to be half a step in front. And people out there will say, well, what about, listening to the rules and not talking back? I get it. Don't talk back. That's a penalty. But sometimes you do earn the right to have the momentum of the game. That's why having momentum in rugby league is such an important thing.
Well, that's the thoughts of two players. Here's the thoughts of Billy Harrigan in a segment we call Judge Billy.
All eyes for the Honourable Judge Billy.
Honourable.
He was away last week. There's 2 weeks of build-up here.
Judge Billy.
And it certainly built up.
The room is yours.
The hypocrisy of people who are now calling for the referees to stop blowing penalties. When last year and the year before, we had people jumping up and down because players weren't playing the ball, the wrestle in the game, and players taking control of the game by getting in the face of referees and the referees doing nothing about it. In the off-season, they gave warning to the clubs and the players that there would be a stamp down on all those aspects of the game. Four rounds in, they're still doing it. 33 penalties in the Cronulla game, and I looked at each of those penalties. The only one that I probably thought was a little bit harsh was the sin binning of Luke Lewis. But he should never have touched him anyway. And they've got a policy that if you interfere with a quick tap, you go to the sin bin. So now we want the referees to keep it up. Keep blowing the penalties. And all you people out there, you hypocrites, who don't want them to keep blowing the penalties, instead of focusing on the referee, focus on the players and the coaches who could have fixed this round one. They can still fix it. It's not up to the referees. It's up to the players to get back onside, put your foot on the ball when you play it, stay onside and get out of the referee's face. And I don't care whether you're the Australian captain or who you are, if you say something untoward to a referee, expect the consequences no matter who you are or how big you are in the game.
That's right.
Do you like that, Billy? Do you like the little moment there? That was lovely.
That's right.
Because, okay, did you watch the games yesterday?
Hang on.
I'm finished.
Haven't you finished?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't interrupt the judge.
Give me a nudge when he's over, when it's finished.
So referees, keep blowing the whistle until they do as they're told.
Blow that whistle.
Okay, Bill Harrigan's made a point there, but the things that he talked about aren't being penalised in the game. It's offside every set, and I've listened to people. I've gone along the lines of, you know, I've sat back and thought, am I the only one that's seeing this? But there's too many former players and current players that feel that strongly that the referees have gone too heavy-handed for it to be wrong, Dan. I think that, yeah, listening to Gerds on Friday night, 57 penalties in two games is absolutely ridiculous.
Billy said, MG, that of the 33 penalties in the Sharks-Melbourne game, 32 were legitimate.
Look, I'm not going to say whether Billy's right or wrong. He knows more about the game as far as refereeing goes than us three put together. But Billy was renowned in Origin for putting his whistle in his pocket and also renowned when he refereed Origin for us seeing the best contest, because the better team won through attrition. Attrition isn't seen in games when you've got 33 penalties. You've got stops and starts. That's a penalty every, what, every 3 minutes you're stopping for a penalty.
Two and a bit.
I mean, I get it. I get that, you know, they want to clamp down on stuff, but I also get it that the fever pitch had hit on Friday night was more to do with the storm than with players sticking to the rules. I think a lot of people, well, look, 80% of rugby league fans don't like Melbourne. And because they're on the end of that loss the other night, which, by the way, Cronulla were the better team in the end. But we want to see momentum in rugby league. We want to see free-flowing passing of the ball. We don't want to see the back of the referees and his UE sign, which is, by the way, a good sponsorship, that one, because we're seeing a lot of it. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere. And if players continue to do something wrong, I can't believe for the life of me, and I've been banging on it for 20 years. Well, we're not that long. I've been retired for 18 years. So ever since I've retired, I've been banging on about the five-minute sin bin for stuff that you shouldn't be doing on the field.
Yep.
So instead of 10, which I think, okay, 33 penalties. If you come back from an overseas hour and you said there's 33 penalties, you'd say, at least four or five must have been in the bin.
Yep.
But one player from each team was in the bin. So if they really want to make a statement, you've got to start putting blokes in the bin. And I think they're reluctant to do it because they know how much it hurts a team for 10 minutes of having 13 players, 12 players. So bring back 5 minutes, and these are for incidents, even for people, a player looking at a referee the wrong way. Off you go, 5 minutes. Quickly, they'll get the message. If you're getting 5 minutes in the bin for little misdemeanors, they'll quickly stop the crap they're doing.
All right, there we go. I hope you got it all out of your system.
Done.
Because unless there's a catastrophe this afternoon,
they won't be.
We're not going to tackle it. We're not going to deal with this again.
I agree. I'm with you, mate.
Triple M rocking the footy. We're only about 40 minutes away from kickoff. The Tigers and the Eels live from ANZ. We're here for Tyre Power.
You've never heard the footy
like this. Triple M NRL. Get your boots out!
Still outside here at ANZ Stadium. We'll pop in shortly to call this game between West's Tigers and Parramatta, the final game of NRL Round 4. Nice and cool now. The breeze has come through. It's like a southerly. Has just wafted through Sydney Olympic Park. Plenty of tweets, Jamie Sauer and Mark Geyer. Let me get to a couple here.
Read the nice ones first, Dan.
Can you point me into the direction to get a beer? Can only find one place. In the ground, I would suggest.
Yeah, go in the ground.
In the ground would be better.
Here's a question for MG. At what age or length of time having a job would you have your kids pay rent?
Well, I've got a 23-year-old son at the moment. I've got a 22-year-old daughter at home, 18-year-old daughter, and they're kind of just... The first two have been working for a couple, few years. They don't pay rent. I don't get... Like, they... You know, it's a...
They contribute anything?
They contribute a lot. They help us out a lot in different ways. And I think that, you know... as long as they want to be at my house, I suppose, and I'm, you know... If I'm struggling, I've always got a couple of... benefactors to help me out. Like
15, Dan.
15.
When I left school year 10, my mum said, you better go get a job because you got to pay rent next week.
Yeah, I paid.
And she gave it back to me when I moved out, but
okay,
15.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's what I said.
So she put it away for your benefit.
Yeah, so when I left to go to the Raiders, she gave it back to me.
Here's one. Is Ganain really suggesting that Stewart may have lost the dressing room because they were rightfully sprayed? Getting called out is the road to losing the dressing room now. Dare say players have too much power and not enough accountability. Hasn't that been the case for years?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's, you know, as we mentioned, it's Ricky's probably got one more of them up his sleeve until he does lose that credit. Like, you've got to have a happy meeting with your players. The players don't want to see a ranting and raving coach in public. I would imagine that he would have said to his players, Dan, on that night, I'm giving it to you here, and I'm going to give it to you in front of the media as well. So be ready for it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be backlash. He would have told his players about it.
Of course.
He wouldn't have just went out there off his own bat. He would give his players the benefit of the doubt and said, I'm going to do it publicly, and I don't want to do it again.
Sowie says that because other ex-players agree with him, he must be right. What about what the fans want? Most agree with the crackdown. You know something, Sowie, NMG, I'm pleasantly surprised with how many fans are pro this stance. And if it butchers a few games now, so be it.
Well, they're the major shareholders of the game, the fans, aren't they? I had a pretty hostile argument with a few of them on Twitter, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? But they want answers. They're passionate, and you know they're the ones who pay the money. I'd just rather pay money to see people scoring tries than seeing a whistle being blown 33 times. That's all.
That bloke's probably a Warriors or Dragons fan, is he? Probably not a Tigers fan.
Great to see Big MG on radio, because when his head appears on TV promoting other things, amongst other things, Best Sheds, it scares the heck out of you. By the way, fans, I like that ad. By the way, fans want the 5 minutes in bin, so why don't they reinstate it and use it in place of a string of penalties? So I think, MG, the fans agree with you on that.
That's got a bit. Like, years ago, then, they made one of the best things, the best changes in the game that they could have made, taking away the corner posts as far as touching that, you're out. It's been the best. We're seeing wingers now scoring tries that they look like they're in the circus. So please, 5 minutes in bin, bring it in. The fans want it. We want it. I haven't heard one person say why we shouldn't have it.
Thank you to everyone for your tweets at @MMM_NRL. You can keep them coming, and we'll get through them right through the game, and that's thanks to 4 and 20. What about the Warriors the other day? Outstanding, but in the way they demolished the Roosters. But those heritage jerseys, because jerseys had been stolen.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Have you guys had anything stolen of significance? Any footy gear?
Oh, I was always the stealer.
That doesn't surprise anyone.
Especially after training, when I'd go to the training and I worked out, I didn't have a towel or a change of clothes. Especially in my last few years at Penrith, I'd take Tony Paul tours all the time and Ned Kadich, and all I could hear as I was driving off in my car, MG! They're chasing after me with no gear on.
The best part of that is I'd use Bryce Cartwright's when he came into first grade, but I'd fold it up and put it back in his bag. So by the time he'd come to get it, it was wet, and he'd pulled it out.
I'd take Teeth close.
And I'd made sure that I'd drive myself thoroughly.
Triple M rocking Easter Monday football. We are only about half an hour away from this game starting, and we'll hear from the coaches shortly. Yes, indeed, we're live outside ANZ Stadium. We're about to go in on this beautiful Easter Monday as we do this outside broadcast for Tyre Power, exclusively at Tyre Power. Buy three, get one free on selected Kumo passenger and sports performance tyres. You got MG, you got Jamie South, Emma Lawrence part of the team today, Dan Ganane as well. All right, let's dig in a bit. Let's talk about the Parramatta Reels. Where are they at right now, and is this essentially a must-win game if they're going to do anything this year?
Oh, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I mean, even though it's not panic stations this early in the season, you don't see any ray of sunshine coming out of the mountain that's going to rescue them. Look, quite simply, their keys to success is to play with a bit of gay abandon. Throw the structure out the window. Like, it's not working. Start getting the ball wide early and start kicking on earlier tackles and just play with a bit of... Don't play with as much structure as they're playing, because their forwards aren't up to it. Their forwards haven't got the power to play that structured game. They need to play... Basically throw caution to the wind, Sowie.
Yeah, I agree with parts of that. I think they can play with a lot more enthusiasm. We saw the first couple of weeks, their pack is not up to it. You know, they're not a top forward pack. They need to be able to play, as you said, move the ball around. I'd like to see their forwards tip on a little bit, come in. Moses, Corey Norman off the back of that. Their ray of sunshine is Clint Gutherson. I ran into him on the way in here today. He's still a couple of weeks away, and I don't think it'd be fair on him to put all the pressure on him. So I'd like to see Corey Norman come out. They've made a change at hooker with Kaiser Pritchard. They need to start thinking more about what's going on in the moment rather than sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it, because at the moment this Parramatta side has looked unenthused, unenergetic, and really pretty boring in terms of attack. They looked like the Bulldogs last year.
Is this the perfect opponent for them in their current scenario? Because I can't score points, but neither can the West's Tigers.
Probably without Elijah Taylor, yes. He's a big out. In their opening victories when they won by 2 points each game, I think he racked up something like 55, 56 tackles both games. So he plugs that middle that we were both talking about, where they should probably try and, utilise against the Eels. Tigers aren't. Tigers have done things simply on the back of Packer and Madalino. To answer your question, probably yes.
That's the key. You're exactly right, MG. If I'm that Parramatta Eels pack today, I'm trying to attack the head of the snake. And we talk about forward packs and, MG will be able to talk a little bit more, but everyone has a head to the snake. And Russell Packer right now is one of the premier forwards, if not the best front rower over the opening month of the competition. If you get someone to come out of line and just bang him for the first 20 minutes and make him go off, because at the moment he's playing long minutes, 35 minutes, and just racking up the yards and really leading from the front. If you have someone come out and attack that head of the snake, it gives everyone else confidence.
Very much like Maloney did to Cohen Hess last Thursday night. He said, you know what, we need a lift here and I'm going to do it on their best and most impressive up-and-comer. And he took him on. And those that say that Maloney can't tackle, watch that game.
Yeah.
So Parramatta 0-3. Teams have come back from 0-4 to make the finals. But I think, Jamie, we all agree, don't we, that just making the top eight's not enough. You've got to, if you're fair dinkum, you've got to make top four, and bloody hell, it's hard. If they go 0-4, they've probably got to win 15 or 16 out of their last 20 to finish in the top four.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The only thing that Parramatta have got in their favour is some of the teams that we thought would be runaways and start the season, 3-1, maybe 4-0, have struggled as well in terms of the Roosters, the Broncos, those teams, we thought were going to be up there, North
Cowboys.
Queensland. Yeah. So they can do it, but today, for me, their season's on the line. They haven't played, with any urgency in the first couple of weeks, Dan. That game against Manly, we can write that as a one-off. Then they turn up last week, and they were just as disappointing. So I'm looking for a real attitude change, and off the back of what's happened over the weekend in terms of Roosters, Cowboys, Broncos, Parramatta could be, really come out and start this and be energetic and get their season back on track.
Geez, the weather hasn't helped them, has it? I mean, we were there at Penrith. It was stinking hot. The next week against Manly, 39 degrees. Last week at least was cool, but it was wet. Now here we go. It's in the mid-30s again.
Not an excuse.
I'd like to see Brad Arthur try something different today as well as far as his interchange. I'd start with Bo Scott and Kenny Edwards. I'd probably leave Manu Ma'a, back rowers Tapai and Ma'a off the bench. I'll bring them off the bench. I think that this has got to start with a bit of starch, and I think the blokes who provide that, Kenny Edwards and Bro Scott, and they're sitting on the sideline for the first 20, 25 minutes watching it all unfold.
He's got to mix his pack up. Tim Mann is very steady and had a great career and got the most out of himself, but he's just a plugger. He's just going to go and plug and get his meters and this and that, but you need someone that's going to come out there and throw it around. I'd have Nathan Brown and Kane Evans up front. I agree with MG. I don't know if I'd start both of them, but Bro Scott, I'd say, mate, go out there and empty the tank for 20 minutes. He's not the Bo Scott that I played with, but he's still valuable in terms of confidence and he can defend. And he's got that bit of mongrel that they've been lacking. So I look for Parramatta. The heat's not an excuse for me. Okay, if you've got the right game managers in your team, the right halves that know when to put it out, that know when to take control of the game, you can find, because both teams have to play in it, Dan. We saw the difference between Cherry Evans and Mitch Moses a couple of weeks ago.
What do we want to see out of Tony Williams? First game in a while on the big stage.
I want to see him wind up from the back fence 6 or 7 times and then run over people like he did. He ran over me many times in my career. I want to see him do that for 15, 20 minutes, get off and then come back on and do it again.
Yeah, if that even 10 minutes, Arthur says, look, I want 5 hit-ups from you, every one of them I want you to tuck the ball under your arm. Don't even try to offload it. And in defence, I want you to take at least 2 or 3 massive hits on these blokes we're talking about. Sarri called the head of the snake, and that is Packer. Packer's the man. Everything that started well for the Tigers of late has started with Russell Packer.
How much responsibility did you take in terms of the head of the snake? If someone was playing, I mean, you might be able to bring up a name off the top of your head that you really targeted that game.
Oh,
and went
91,
out there.
91 grand final, Brad Clyde.
Yeah.
I was told to take him out because he was their best player. And, him and Steve Walters out of dummy half were the two we targeted. And
good job, he won the Clive Churchill.
Yeah.
Next time, but hey, who won the game?
And controversial too.
We're going to go. How did Brandy not win that?
Oh, Simo, 2 tries. Come on.
We're going inside, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, kick off bang on 4 o'clock. Triple M rocking the footy live from ANZ.
This is Triple M NRL.
sprinted across here to ANZ Stadium inside now. And we get in and there's Easter eggs all over the... Get them away from us, for God's sake.
Yummo.
Tigers and the Eels warming up. And the good thing here is not only is it clouded over a bit, but the when the sun does peek through, the ground is covered in shadow anyway because... of course, no more daylight saving, so the lights are turned on and we'll end up finishing under lights by the time we get to about 6 o'clock. Mark Geyer, Jamie Sauer, Dan Ganone, good crowd forming here. Plenty of people outside waiting to get in. Ivan Cleary, of course, is the West Tigers coach. And for Ream Hot Water, we go down to the sideline. He's with Emma Lawrence.
All right, Ivan, so Tui's back and he'll be playing fullback. Some might say it's a tough call to... have David playing ISP. So what is it that Tui brings that you're not seeing from David?
Oh, that's an easy question. Basically, it's back to the back line we first had for round one. So we are missing a little bit of... we probably could do a little bit of spark, and Tui brings out kind of... he's got that, I guess, ball-playing ability, and he can definitely... sniff out an opportunity. So it's probably just more of a connection thing for the team. So there's a lot of guys that are actually doing quite well playing ISP at the moment. Dave's one of those.
Now Jacob Little back too. That's a really good news story coming back from a shoulder reco. What do you want to see from him, and how much game time do you think we can expect him to get?
Yeah, just depends on all I want to see is just him get out there and basically play his best. I mean, I'm not certainly expecting miracles from him, but again, I think he can give us a little bit of punch and a bit of spark. He's one of the quickest in the squad, and I think he's definitely been, his career's been growing nicely. Obviously, he's had a bit of a setback injury-wise, but he's had a really good preseason. Been running a lot, and I think he's pretty keen to have a game.
Is he nervous? Because he's still only young, so... You'd think that in coming into a game like this, he'd have to be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, he'd be probably worried if he wasn't. He's a little bit nervous, but he's not too bad. And, he had a good long week, so just to get him ready more mentally than physically, and he's ready to go, so looking forward to seeing how he contributes.
Benji back too. I know you've spoken a lot about what he brings, but in terms of the combination he has with Brooksy, is that where you expected it to be at this stage of the season?
Didn't really expect too much. It's definitely a work in progress. Last week wasn't our greatest, certainly attacking performance, and they know that. But the weeks before that, I could see some good things coming. So it'll take a bit of time, but hopefully tonight's an opportunity. Today's another opportunity. Sorry to click that into gear a bit better.
How do you try and change that attack? I know it's not an easy fix, but is there something in particular you want to see from them to try and get a few more points than you've had over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I just think a little bit more support. That's been dropping off a little bit now. Footy. I don't know whether we're a little bit too focused on defence, maybe, but just mainly that. If you support the ball carrier, I think good things pretty much come from that. So if we can do that, then I'll be happy.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, not many tries for the Tigers, but they're not conceding them either. That's interesting. Chewy Lolahea goes to fullback. Corey Thompson to the wing. David Norfoluma is cut. And Jacob Little, big raps on that young man. He replaces Matt McKilwick. So that's the West Tigers side from Mungo Boots. And Parramatta, they're 1-17, and you got half your wish, MG. Tepoi Moiroa back to the bench. Kenny Edwards will start, but Bo Scott on the bench as well. And Tony Williams makes his return. Long time since he's played for the Parramatta Eels, and we'll see him in Parramatta colours some point during this game. He'll come off the bench. Right, we concentrated on the Eels. What do you make of those changes, Jamie Soward? And does it make the Tigers significantly better?
I think it does. Bringing Lolahea into the back, he's obviously a first grader. Corey Thompson has been dynamic for this Tigers side. He can finish, he's energetic, and that's what they need at the moment. Having Jacob Little come back in will be interesting to see how Ivan Cleary uses him. Peter Godinet, much of a standard deliver, bring his forwards onto the ball. I think they'll bring Little on maybe about 20-25 in just before half time, let him empty the tank and then come out and then have Godinet finish, depending on how the momentum of the game's going. But I like the fact that Jacob Little's back in. Big raps on him.
Bit of a shock, Nofaluma. It does create a lot of second phase play for the Tigers, but I think Lola here is more of a Ivan Cleary type player that he wants in his team. I think he sticks to the script a lot better than someone like Nofaluma does. Agree with Jamie as far as Little goes. Jacob Little had some amazing raps on him. Unfortunately, McCurick makes way for him, but I think they're a stronger pack because the fact Little is now on the bench.
Lolahea kicks, Jamie. Masters has been reasonable as a kicker, but you give that straight back to Lolahea?
Yeah, you give it straight back to him, depending on whether he wants a job. I mean, usually as a kicker, you like to get into a bit of rhythm, and you think that Masters maybe is in a little bit of a rhythm, but that'll come down to Ivan Cleary. Kicking can be important in today's game because Mitchell Moses isn't the greatest goal kicker that we've seen. So it'll be important today, especially for big clash. Parramatta are going to be feeling the pump early. I like the inclusion of Jacob Little for this Tigers side. That's a real big in.
They've scored 27 and they've conceded 25. Can they possibly maintain that sort of defensive record? I mean, they're not going to keep teams to under 10 every week, but can they keep that intensity up?
I think when we won the comp, when we won the comp, we conceded about 11.6 the whole year. So it is something you can build. And I've spoken about it before that this time of year, you'd be more happy that your defence is on and you're working on your attack rather than the other way around. Your attack's flying, much like the Raiders. You know, the first 2 weeks, their attack, yeah, we're scoring 56 points, but we're letting in 30. So I think Ivan Cleary and Tigers fans would be very happy on the back that they do have their defence in order and they are able to grow with their attack as the season goes.
Yeah, agree. I dare say that these teams on top of the competition, the Dragons, the Warriors, the Panthers to a lesser degree, they wouldn't have touched the footy until probably late January. It would have been all about the fitness and would have all been all about defence and defence's attitude. Both of these teams at the moment are contrasting because the Tigers have got it, that attitude in defence, but the Parramatta Eels haven't. If Parramatta are out to beat the Tigers today, they've got to really, really take it to the front rows in Madalena and Packer and basically make a statement because at the moment their forward pack has been letting them down. Today's the day to try and get the fans happy again in the blue and gold army and also try and get Brad Arthur his first win of the year.
And also, defence is built on trust, boys. I think, you know, too often in today's game, we see the Tigers the first couple of rounds just defended their way through trust. Stay out, okay, come in when you need to, shut it down. And if we do make a mistake or penalty, we'll just back each other up and trust each other. This Parramatta side hasn't trusted each other for the opening month of the year, and it all capitulated on that afternoon at Brookvale where they just didn't come out of the blocks. There was no communication, and that's pretty much sums up their season thus far. They'll need to get back to talking to each other, getting up off the line, as MG said, really attacking the head of the snake in Russell Packer. I feel that if someone comes out, a Bo Scott or one of these forwards comes out and really attacks Russell Packer today, that'll help Parramatta's chances early.
All right, we'll take one more break. We'll come back. The kickoff is scheduled for 4 p.m, so it's only about 10 minutes away. We'll hear from Brad Arthur on the other side of this. Triple M rocking Easter Monday football.